Next few weeks, we're going to do a series of messages called It's Still Complicated, But It Doesn't Have to Be. So I want you to know that even if you find yourself battling some relational tension, it might be complex, but it does not have to be complicated. So today we're going to kick off this series talking about a relationship that we all need and one that impacts us more than we know. Somebody say, it's still complicated. So let's go to the book of John, chapter 15. And if you remember, at the end of our Dominate series, we spent the last 2 weeks of the series actually here. And as I was preparing for this message this week, I came right back to it. I was like, man, it's so incredible how God is still speaking to us from this same passage. But in John chapter 15, around verse 15, I'm just going to read this one verse for right now. It says this: I do not call you servants anymore. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends. Somebody say friends. Because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I've made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. So as we kick off this brand new series, It's Still Complicated, I want to preach from this theme and thought today. I need some friends. Tell the person beside you, you need some friends. Come on, find the second choice person that you didn't turn to. Find somebody across the room online. Ask them, do you have some friends in your life? You got friends. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and goodness, for who you are. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that as we begin this new series on relationships, God, that you would help us to walk in dominion, even in this area as well. God, would you remove distractions? Would you remove things that get in the way of us receiving your word? Would you remove pride? Would you remove preconceived perspectives? Would you help us to see that maybe we don't have this area of relationships figured out? But most of all, would you teach us your way so that way we could have relationships, specifically friendships, that thrive and flourish for your glory and for our good. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. You could be seated. I need some friends. Find somebody real quick and ask them the question, do you got friends in your life? Got some, come on, I want you to get country with them. Ask them, you got some friends? I got some country in my blood, and my dad's side of the family, North Carolina, got that southern twang. You got some friends. But I find this to be interesting when it comes to relationships, that one of the areas that I think all of us maybe crave and desire, and maybe we'll say that we have, is friendships. Everybody say friendships. And it's a word that is very popular. The word friend is very popular. It's something that's commonly used in many different ways. If you are familiar with pop culture, in the early to mid-90s until the early 2000s, there was a popular TV show that many are binge-watching right now by the name of Friends. How many of y'all know that show? How many of y'all watch that show? Some of y'all like, I liked it. Some of y'all, what is it? Well, it was a very popular show that took the country by storm in the mid-90s to the early 2000s. But if you can't, in case you're not familiar with the TV show named Friends, you might be familiar with some songs about friends. There was a hip-hop group from the 1980s by the name of Houdini called Friends. And I was going to play the track, but sometimes when you play stuff online in the streaming world, you'll get flagged online. So I was like, ah. But I think some of us might actually know the words and the lyrics to this song. Friends, how many of us? Oh, look at y'all. Y'all ain't saved. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Friends, how many? Look at y'all. Oh my goodness, look at y'all. All right, that's good right there. That's good. Now, let me pause right quick. I heard some of y'all voices. Y'all sound amazing. Y'all need to be on the worship team. Y'all talking about some. I can't sing. I just heard you singing right now. No, I'm kidding. But it was a song that was very popular. throughout the 80s and that many will sing now, and it's even being used in different TV ads and commercials. There was another song by this group by the name of War, the hook of the song would say, "Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?" Then there was another song that some of us might really be familiar with. And it was from this guy by the name of Biz Markie. "Oh, baby, you." Now, some of us in here, they're like, "I thought this was church, and I'm going somewhere with this." Many of us are familiar with the word friend. Even when you look at different things, you're familiar with different dynamic duos in superhero world. You got Batman and Robin, you know. Even in the sports world, you had kind of Kobe and Shaq. I would say Michael and Scotty, but it's not good right now. It's complicated right now. But many of us, I think, are familiar with this word friends, and I think if I was to ask all of us in here if we had friends, many of us would say that we have friends in our lives who we would consider like bad boys, ride or die. But in spite of what we may say, there have been some recent studies that were done that may also have something to say. Because a study was done in January of 2020, right before the pandemic hit, that found, watch this, that nearly 61% of people feel lonely. In other words, 3 out of 5 people. So, in other words, for every 5 people that are in this room right now, 3 feel alone, if that statistic is true. For every 5 people watching online, 3 of you might feel alone. Study continued to find out that 73% of heavy social media users feel lonely. Heavy meaning they are on social media all day, every single day. Even if they're not posting, they're watching. Y'all know ghost people, right? Ghost followers. Just get up there and just scroll. They don't like nothing. They just be looking. But then they also found that even 52% of light social media users feel lonely. What does this teach us? That people feel lonely, even though many will claim to have friends. And I find that to be interesting, because in a day of time where we are arguably more connected than ever before, we arguably might feel more lonely than ever before. Because I think that word friend has been a word that's been used casually, flippantly, and lightly. So it is a word that is used in social media spectrum specifically, where you can have, quote unquote, 4,000 friends but not be close to anybody. You got followers but not friends. You got fans, but not friends. And I want to know today, do many of us have friends the way that we think we do? Friends, how many of us really have them? And here's the thing. God's desire is that we would not go through life alone, but that we would have deep, meaningful, lasting friendships. Not surface, not casual, but deep, substance-filled friendships. And oftentimes, the reason why friendships are more complicated than they have to be, and the reason why that we struggle with them more than we have to be, we struggle with making friends, we struggle with keeping friends, we struggle with finding friends, or we struggle with finding the right friends. The reason why is because oftentimes we go about building friendships our own way. We use what culture says about friendships as opposed to what Scripture says. But I want you to understand something here. Friendships are necessary for your life. They are key to your life. And the reason why is this, because the people that are closest to you are influencing you for the better or for the worse. Pastor Van Moody says it like this in his book called The People Factor. He says, there is no such thing as a neutral relationship. Every relationship impacts you in some way. Some of y'all looking at me like, no, that's not true. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. In other words, don't be fooled. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Write this down. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. There's a strong metaphorical, colloquial term that we use today. Birds of a feather flock together. One person said it like this. I think Pastor Brian actually said it last week. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Because your friendships impact you for better or for worse. And now what's interesting, when we go back to that scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 33, I want to stay right here just for a quick second. He says, bad company corrupts good character or good morals. Watch what he says next. Come to your senses and stop sinning. I was looking at this week, and I was like, why would Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, write, stop sinning, right after he talks about bad company? Because your circle is either promoting you to godliness or sinfulness. Your circle of friends has everything to do with whether or not you become who God has called you to be or draw away from who God has called you to be. So the question we got to ask ourselves is, what kind of friends do I have in my life? Why? I want you to write this down. Because you will only go as far as your friendships. So if you are frustrated right now with the impact of your life, and if you are frustrated right now, let me say it like this, with the fruit of your life, the first thing I will say is look at your friends. What's your friend circle look like? And if you don't have friends, that's even more dangerous. Because God never designed any of us to walk through life alone. Do you remember what God said in the garden after he made everything and it had pairs? He said, it's not good for man to be alone. Oftentimes, we apply that only to the romantic marriage relationship. But God had something much bigger in mind. It wasn't just about marriage. It was about life, friendships, and relationships. That God's desire is not that we will be alone, but that we would have meaningful, long-lasting relationships, which means this, even for middle school, high school students, I want y'all to lean into me and hear what I'm saying. Build your friendship circle with people who help you grow, that not instead hinder your growth. Get around people who help you grow, not hinder your growth. Adults, same thing. Because oftentimes, the very thing that we will chastise our children for and not having good friends, if the tables will turn, and they were to look at your friendship circle, and they had the microphone. Mommy, daddy, auntie, your friends ain't really that much better either. Which helps us to see something here, that all of us need to be evaluating who's in our friendship circle. You got to, let me say it like this, filter your friends. Filter your friends. Somebody say friends. Y'all getting real quiet on me. The question that we got to ask ourselves is this. Is our understanding of friendships shaped by scripture or shaped by culture? And when we look at what Jesus says here in John 15, Jesus, I want you to understand something. Jesus lived a perfect life. He managed every relationship in his life here on earth for 33 years perfectly. And here in this passage, he has something powerful that he says to his disciples. He says something incredible to them. He says this in verse 15, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Which helps us to understand something. If we want to know what friends are, we got to look at what Jesus says about them. We can't go by what culture says. We can't go by what social media says. We can't go by even what our upbringing says. We got to look at what Jesus says here about friendships, because Jesus managed every relationship that he had on earth perfectly. So if he managed relationships perfectly, then it would only make sense that we would go to the one who is perfect so that way our relationships can be perfected. And when he says this here, he gives us a few truths that I want us to lean into. When Jesus says these words in verses 15 through 16, he says this, I do not call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends. Everybody say friends. because I've made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. I want you to understand something that Jesus is doing here. When he calls them friends, the first principle that he's giving us that I want us to see today is he's giving us the context of friendships. Or if I were to say it another way, the framework of friendships. Why? Because we all need friends in our life. God never designed us to walk through life alone. We need people in our lives. But watch this. But more importantly is the right people in our lives. Because if we don't understand the context of friendships, we will do things out of context, which now results in us having people as friends that should not be our friends. And cutting out people in our life that actually should be in our life. There's people on the outside of our life that actually should be occupying the friendship circles. I remember plenty of times growing up in high school and middle school. I remember plenty of times when my life began to deteriorate, it was always pointed back to my friendships. My mom would always say, you need some better friends. But they're cool. I ain't ask you if they're cool. Are they good? And just because they're good don't mean that they're good for you. And a lot of times what happens is because we don't understand context, we don't understand what friendships are, we make the mistake of letting people in that area of our life that should not be there, and we also make the mistake of keeping people out of that area that actually should be. So when Jesus gives us this context of friendship, here's what I want you to understand. The context of friendships in friendships is this. Number one, accessibility. Everybody say accessibility. Meaning this, friends have access to you in ways that other people don't. And so when Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends, what he's helping them to see is that y'all get access to me in ways that other people don't. Because Jesus, in the midst of him being in crowds, in the midst of him going here, in the midst of him going there, he had 12 people that followed him everywhere he went. These guys right here. One of them left him, which is interesting, because that happened in John chapter 13. Jesus doesn't start using the title friends until after Judas leaves, which he teaches us something powerful about that principle. Be careful who you call your friends. Wait for people to reveal who they are before you dub them friend. Because if Jesus would have called Judas a friend a few chapters later, this same friend was betraying Jesus. He says, no, I'm going to call you friends after I examine you a little bit. I got to see you a little bit. I got to see you in your high and in your low. Because you have access to me. And as a friend, you have access to other people. Which then leads to this, vulnerability. Everybody say vulnerability. Because in friendships, there's not just accessibility, meaning that they have access to you. They know who you are. They can connect with you in ways that other people can't. You give your number to this person, you don't give it to everybody else. You invite this person over to your house, you don't invite everybody else to your house. Everybody else don't have access like that. No, we can meet at a restaurant. You ain't coming to the crib. But also in the context of friendships, there's vulnerability. What do I mean by that? There's transparency. He says, I no longer call you servants, but friends. Why? He says it in verse 15. Because servants don't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. In other words, I have unveiled things to you that other people don't get. And in friendships, there's not just accessibility, but there's vulnerability, there's transparency. There's things about you that people will know that others might not. And that's a good thing because we need that. But here's another thing, and here's why I need us to get this. I need you to lean in. It's not just accessibility. It's not just vulnerability. But in the context of friendships, there also has to be intentionality. Jesus, verse 16, notice what he says this. He says here. He says, you did not choose me, I chose you. Which teaches us something about friendships. Who you are friends with is a choice. Which means this, choose wisely. There is an intentional act on our part, or on the parts of other people, to dub us as friends. We get to choose who will be our friends. We don't get to choose our family all the time. You get to choose what type of family you're born into. But you can choose who is in your friendship circle. You can choose your friends. And I want you to understand something. True friendships aren't casual. there to be intentional. What do I mean by that? I said earlier, I'm coming back to it now to dig a little bit deeper. Jesus did not have casual friendships with people. He had hundreds of people that followed him, but he only had 12 that went with him everywhere. And out of that 12, he only had 3 that he told everything else to: Peter, James, and John, which helps us to see something as well. That even the people that you call friends, not everybody will still have the same access. I got friends, but then I got real close friends. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Jesus had that. And scientists have actually shown that emotionally and vulnerability-wise, you can eat, like scientifically it has been shown that you can't give yourself to that many people. You don't have the bandwidth and the capacity to be vulnerable and transparent. And let me also say this, you don't want to be vulnerable and transparent with everybody because not everybody can handle that. Because if you and I make the mistake of dubbing people friends and then you open up to them and share things with them that nobody else should know, but then you go and find out on social media that they spread all your stuff, that's not a friend. Come on. We gotta ask ourselves the question. Who is in my circle right now? Who's close to me? Because everybody can't be your friend. And I think we use that term too casually and too lightly. I love what Pastor Darius Daniel says. He wrote a phenomenal book called Relational Intelligence. And the argument that he makes is that many times the reason why there's relational tension is because we don't have relational intelligence. And he begins to talk about these 4 tiers of relationships. He talks about advisors or mentors, people that pour into you. Then he also talks about assignments, people that maybe God has called you to pour into. But then he also talks about associates, people that you have common interests with, i.e. work. But then he says there's friendships. And I think we get the associate, I think we get the advisor, and I think we get the assignment, but I think we get real confused when it comes to associates and friendships. Because oftentimes we fall into the trap, I've done it myself, where we think that because we are in proximity, that means we should be friends. That's not true. Our kids play little league sports. Just because our kids love to play with other kids don't mean we need to be friends. Come on. Why? Because different families have different values. Is this making sense? And what happens is we end up making a mistake. Oh, you know, our kids like to play together. We should be friends. That don't mean nothing. Why? Because if they are not right for you, bad company corrupts good character. So just because we play together don't mean we should be together. Okay. All right, let me come down your street. Just because you work with them don't mean you should hang out with them. Come on. I'm going to get even more personal. Just because they are in your family don't mean y'all should be best of friends. Oh, this is my cousin, and cousin will get you locked up. Hey, this is my fam, though. I got to stick up for my fam. You can stick up for them from a distance. You can't allow everybody to have access to you, but isn't that not showing love? No, 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 no. God calls us to show love to everybody. Oh, no man, nothing other than to love him. That's the Bible, so we love everybody. But what we do is we conflate love and trust in the same thing. I love you, I just don't trust you. Come on, parents, y'all know what I'm talking about. There are certain people you would trust to watch your kids, there are certain people you won't. Oh, you still love them, I just don't trust you. Because love is freely given, trust is earned. So you get my love for free, but trust, you got to earn that. Even Jesus did that. He loved everybody. Not everybody had access to him the same way. And what happens is, because we don't understand the context of friendships, we allow people in certain spaces and places in our lives and in our hearts and in our homes and whatever the case might be, that should not be there, and then we get burned. And now what the enemy does is he capitalizes off of that and he turns it now into bitterness, where now you close yourself off and say, I'm not going to trust nobody. That's not God's will either. So we go from one extreme to the next. We either have everybody as a friend. Oh, yeah, they're my friend. You ain't never met them before. Oh, yeah, they're my friend. Y'all ain't never done nothing together. Or then we swing to the opposite extreme, which is, I don't have no friends because I can't trust nobody. Because you've been jaded many times. And here's what the enemy does not tell you, is that when you're not connected to people, that means you're not able to be transparent. That means you're not able to be vulnerable. And let me say it like this. I need you to write this down. You will always be as sick as your secrets. So if you don't have friendships in your life, people that you can begin to be transparent with and vulnerable with, it will be to your detriment. Peter, James, and John went with Jesus everywhere he went. They saw him in his highest moment, Mount of Transfiguration. Go back and read it in the scriptures. Something that the other disciples did not get to see. He took them up to a mountain. They saw things that none of the others didn't see. But then he also took them with him during his lowest moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was falling asleep. Which, by the way, your friends ain't perfect. They're going to make mistakes. And you and I as a friend also will make mistakes. But friends have access to us in ways that others don't. And I need us to understand this, because oftentimes the reason why we fail in friendships and the reason why they're more complicated than they have to be is because we don't understand context. We don't understand who really should be a friend and who really should be an associate. Even in the kingdom, y'all, it's the same thing. And if we don't have this understanding, if we don't have what I like to call biblical wisdom, then we don't understand who needs to be there. Which leads me to my second point. That is not just about understanding the context of friendships. Here's the second point I need you to understand. Now we're talking about the characteristics of a friend. Watch what Jesus says in verse 14. I want you to back up a little bit. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command you to do. Watch what Jesus does. He gives a qualifier for who can be his friend, which shows us something powerful in principle. There should be a standard when it comes to friends. But the problem is, the standard that we have for friends is not typically shaped by scripture. It's shaped by culture. Because knowing what friendship is one thing, but knowing what a true friend is different. Here's what Darius Daniels also says in his book, Relational Intelligence. I encourage all of us to get that book, by the way. He says this, we want relationships with people whose character, somebody say character, reveals they are safe enough to handle us when we're at our highest and when we're at our lowest. And because many people don't have relational intelligence, they don't have this. And therefore, don't know who's truly a friend and not. Let me say it like this. Be friendly with everyone, but befriend only a few. So we be friendly with everybody. But befriending is something completely different. And many times we conflate the two. That in order for me to be friendly, that means we got to be best friends. One of the things we have conversations with our kids all the time, our youngest, he goes to school, and it's like almost every single day. He says, hey, Mom, Dad, I got a new best friend. What's their name? I don't know, but we played together on the playground. And I wonder if we also do the same thing. We call people that, but they haven't fit the description because we haven't examined them long enough and because we don't have an understanding of what friendships are. And oftentimes the reason why we choose the wrong friends is not because we're bad people. So do not think that I'm saying you're a bad person. I'm not saying that. I've made this mistake plenty of times. The reason why we oftentimes choose the wrong friends is not because we're bad people. It's because we lack wisdom. And wisdom comes from God. The Bible says in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, which means this, apart from God, there is no wisdom. You can't get wisdom without him because he himself is wisdom. So if he is wisdom, then we need to go to him to understand what a friend is. And the Bible gives us many principles of wisdom when it comes to choosing people to befriend. So we need to make sure that we are choosing wisely. So I want to give us a few characteristics of what the Bible talks about as a friend. I want to give us some wisdom. And to get this wisdom, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to what's known in the Bible as wisdom literature. One in particular known as the book of Proverbs. Because in the book of Proverbs, the proverbial writer, more than likely Solomon, King Solomon, who was considered to be the wisest king of all time, gives us so much to see about wise decisions when it comes to friendships. Here's the first characteristic I want to give us of what a friend is. Faithful. Somebody say faithful. Faithful means you're reliable, you're committed, you're trustworthy. Here's what Proverbs 17:17 says. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for difficult times. They love at all times. It does not mean that they agree with everything that you do, but they still love you unconditionally. And a brother is born for difficult times. What does this mean? That true friends are with you when it is good and also when it is bad. Ride or die. Bad boys, bad girls for life. They are faithful, not fickle. They don't change as the seasons change. If somebody's talking about you in front of them, they correct them about you. Now, you can talk about my friend like that. Now, whatever your opinion is, keep that to yourself. That's you. They're faithful. Somebody say faithful. Meaning you can count on them. Meaning that they're reliable. They're trustworthy. So when it comes to you looking for friends and the people that's in your life right now, I want you to filter them through this question. Are they faithful? Are they faithful? And then here's another thing I want you to ask. It's the second principle I want to give us. Are they real? Honest. Truthful. Tell you what you need to hear, not always what you want to hear. I like to say it like this, they keep it a buck with you, they keep it 100 with you, they keep it a stack with you. They'll tell the truth about you. No, you messed up with this one. No, that wasn't a good move. I love you, but no, that's sinful. Come on. They're not willing participants with your mess and mess ups. They tell you for who you are. Here's what Proverbs 27:6 says. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, meaning this, the cuts and the feedback and the words that come from your friends can be trusted because they cut you to help you, not harm you. Whereas people who are not friends only boost you up and gas you up but are nowhere to be found when you fall short. You need real people. Somebody say real. Somebody say real. We need real people. Real people. People that's going to be honest with us. People that's going to be truthful with us. Here's another one that Solomon gives us. They're not just faithful, they're not just real, but they also have, here's a big one right now that oftentimes we overlook when it comes to friendships. They have integrity. They have good character. They have godly character. They're good for you to be around because we all know, as we said earlier, bad company corrupts good morals or good character. Birds of a feather flock together. They have integrity. Here's what Proverbs 3:13-20 says. Walk with the wise and become wise. But if you associate with fools, you'll get into trouble. So there are some people, let's keep it 100. You might not like me after today, but it's going to help you. There are some people that are in your friendship circle, they are fools. They not helping you, they hurting you. How are they adding any value to your life? How are they helping you grow? They got integrity. In other words, they're a proponent for doing the right thing. They're a proponent to talk you off a cliff. Don't go do this. This is not a good idea. Because they walk with integrity themselves. Doesn't mean that they're perfect. It doesn't mean that they get it right all the time. No person is perfect. Only Jesus is. But they walk to the best of their ability with integrity. They are honest. They have values to themselves. Do the friends that we have in our life, do they have integrity? Or do they just lie all the time? Lie to your face, talk about you behind your back. And while you're filtering those people who are friends in your life, I want you to also look at it through this lens. You need to filter yourself as a friend to other people's lives as well. Because a lot of times what happens is we like to just insert ourselves here and say, yeah, I need better friends. That could be true, but what also could be true is you need to be a better friend to others. That may be part of the reason why we don't have good friends is because we're not good friends. So we got to have integrity. Everybody say integrity. I want you to write this down. Take a screenshot of it. Your friendship circle is helping you to live either a life of godliness or sinfulness. Walk with the wise, become wise. Associate with fools, get in trouble. Here's another one. Here's another principle that Solomon gives us here in Proverbs. It's this one, encouraging. Somebody say encouraging. In other words, they support and they strengthen you. They speak life into you. Oh, they're going to keep it real with you. They're going to be honest with you. But they're also going to speak life over you. They're going to stir up vision in your life. They're going to speak love into your life. They're going to remind you of who God has called you to be. That when you're the one that's doubting what God has called you to do, they're the ones that's going to remind you, do you know who God has made you to be? You got grace, you got power, you got gifts, you got anointing. They are your personal cheerleaders. They will be there cheering you on the sideline because true friends don't get jealous of other friends. They encourage. So when God blesses you, they're not side-eyeing that blessing. They don't deserve that. That's not a friend, fam. They celebrate with you. A friend of mine actually called me yesterday, and it was like, yo, man, just got this blessing, and it was in the form of like an 82-inch big screen TV, and we were celebrating on the phone, and I was celebrating like I was at his house with him like it was mine. I said, hey, bro, when we come to the crib, all y'all get in the other room. This is my TV. Because true friends don't get jealous of other friends when God blesses them. They encourage them. Man, this is so awesome what God is doing in your life. Because they are secure in their own selves. They encourage. They support, but they strengthen. Here's what Proverbs 27:17 says. They add value to your life. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Can I ask you this question? Who in your friendship circle, who do you have in your life that's actually sharpening your life? Because friendships are meant to be mutual and making one another better. They are meant to be encouraging. Who do you have right now in your life that's strengthening you, that's adding value to you? There's another principle that Proverbs gives us. They're not just faithful, not just real, don't just have integrity, not just encouraging, they're also near. They're close to you. They make themselves available to you. When you go through difficult moments, they don't run away, they run too. When you need somebody to lean on, they'll say, lean on me. Old school song, huh? Because we all need somebody to lean on. Watch what Proverbs 18:24 says. One with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. Can I also help you understand something about the powerful nature of this verse? That you might be closer to friends more than you are some family. And those friends will oftentimes feel like family. You know what Jesus says to, I was thinking about this yesterday. You know what Jesus says to people when they were like, hey, Jesus, your family's looking for you. Your mother's looking for you. Your brothers are looking for you. You know what Jesus says to them? He says, who is my family? He says, my family is right here, the ones who do the will of the Father. That's my friends and family. Ain't it interesting that Jesus doesn't attach family to biological nature? Because not to say that earthly family is not important, but eternal family is of most importance. And so what Jesus is helping us to understand is that there might be some people that are close to you, but they're not blood. But they are blood in Jesus. So I'll tell you right now that I got some friends, and they're not a whole lot. I personally believe that your closest friends, you will probably only be able to count them on one hand. How do I know this? Who did Jesus have? Peter, James, John. Judas showed no phone in there. Thomas, I love you. You my boy and all, but you want to doubt everything I say. You can't be here. I feel to them friends. So there's some people that are closest to us that others aren't as close. And my best friend, Pastor Chris Johnson, he's preached at our church multiple times. Like, we don't just do ministry together. We do life together. And that friendship spans for almost 20 years. We were both in college. We were doing ministry. And we spent hours upon hours talking on the phone just about all different types of things, life and ministry and highs and lows. Pastor Chris has been with me through the highest moments and through lowest moments and vice versa. That our wives are best friends. And our kids call them Uncle Chris and Aunt Rail. And their kids call us Uncle Ed and Auntie Ariel. But that don't happen overnight. That takes time to cultivate. But a lot of times, because we live in such a microwavable generation, we want friendships overnight. And I can honestly say, I'm closer to Pastor Chris than my blood family. Brothers and sisters, I love my brother and my sister. But I'm closer to him than I am them. That's not a knock on them. That's just how God tied us and tethered us together. And there ain't nothing to be ashamed of. And some of us had the same thing. Like, some of us think that, oh, because this is my brother, this is my sister, that I'm supposed to be best friends with them. Not necessarily. Maybe, but not always. And what happens is, when we try to force relationships to be something that they're not, we get frustrated. Because now you're placing expectations on this person that they cannot fulfill because they were never meant to occupy this space. Is this making sense, what I'm saying? You need friendships who's near. So who are those people that you can call when you're going through? I can guarantee you this. You will not call the 5,000 Facebook friends that you have right now when you have lost a loved one, when you have gone through certain things. You might make people aware of it online, but when you are really going through, you probably only got a handful of people that you can actually call right now. Because that's how God wired us. They're near. They're close. Who do you have right now that is close to you? But he said, girl, I got your back. I know it hurts right now, it's ugly right now, but I'm with you. You walking through this valley, not just with Jesus, you walking through this valley with me too. You got me too. That, bro, I know it's hard right now, and I know people are doing this, and I know you're going through a lot of difficult things right now, but I got you, bro. I'm with you. You're close. But here's the last characteristic of a friend that I need all of us to understand today. This is the most important characteristic, that true friends are divine. Somebody say divine. What do I mean by that? They are sent from God. Darius Daniels again says in his Relational Intelligence book, friends offer more than company. They help us carry out our calling. Because, write this down, friends are divine gifts from God to point us back to God. Friends are divine gifts from God to point us back to God. So when God gives us a gift, the whole reason why he gives us a gift is so he could draw us back to him. So if I got people in my life that I consider friends and close friends, but they don't point me back to God, I'm gonna say it like this, you might not like it, you need some new friends. Because instead of being divine, they might actually be distractions. I know it's tight, but it's right. Because when we hear these things now, it's probably causing us, oh man, this person in my life, you don't really need them, my friend. And if you could be really honest about it and be honest with yourself, you've known that for so long. But you were afraid to face that truth because you thought if you cut this person out of your life that you would be devoid of friends. But here's the thing. When you cut this person out of your life, you actually make room for the person that God wants to be in your life. Because there's room. Somebody say there's room. Thank you. You made room. And there are people maybe occupying spaces in our life that shouldn't be there. Not in that way. Because maybe they were meant to be an assignment, somebody that you were supposed to point back to God. You out here trying to hang out with them. Trying to build friendship with them. You're supposed to be witnessing to them. So now they drunk and now you drunk. How they coming to Jesus, fam? They high, you high. Hey, we just get high together. But yo, the difference is you know Jesus and he wants you there to point them to him. They don't have integrity, but you do. But the more you hang around them, your integrity now begins to take a hit. And so now the very moral fabric that God wanted you to invest in to point them back to him is not happening. You're meant to be divine. And it's a powerful relationship. I want to close with this. It's a powerful relationship in the scriptures. There's so many relationships in the scriptures that point to friendships and biblical friendships and godly friendships. And some of us might be here today and you're like, man, Pastor Edwin, I don't really have no godly friends. I get it. I understand that. But I'm going to show you how we can get that in a moment. And I'm going to go to a scripture here in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Because there's two people by the name of Ruth and Naomi. They were family, but they were actually more than that. They were close friends. So much to where there was an opportunity for them to be separated. But then Ruth says this to Naomi in verse 16 of the book of Ruth. But Ruth replied, "Don't plead with me to abandon you or to return and not follow you." Watch this, y'all. "For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there, I will be buried." Watch what she says next. "May the Lord punish me and do so severely if anything but death separates you and me." That is a divine friendship. Sent from God, your God, my God. Where you go, I go. Where you live, I live. How do we apply that into this context? It does not mean that where this person lives, that you might live. You might have close friendships with people that might not even be in the same city as you. Because it is not about closeness in proximity of geographical location. It is about closeness and proximity of heart and spirit. My best friend lives 3 hours from here. We can't just go get lunch just whenever we want. But you know what we do every day? We send each other voice messages and video messages every single day. We get on FaceTime, we Marco Polo every single day. Soon as service is going to be done, hey, yo, how's service go today? It went good. People were looking at me crazy when we talk about friendships, but you know, it is what it is. This is what God wants us to have. And some of us have that, and you know the joy that has brought you in your life. You know, God, thank you for those that you sent into my life. Because it's made me better. It's helped me grow closer to you. It's helped me to walk out of my calling. Some of you are walking in that right now. Thank God for your divine friends from God. Thank God that you got people in your life that got your back, that care for you. Thank God for those people that you can hang out with, you can do life with, that you can grow closer to God with. Thank God for that community of people. Continue to nurture that. And for some of us, you might be here watching online and here even in person, and you're like, Pastor Edwin, I love this, and I love this whole acronym friend that you just spelled out, but I realize that I really don't have friends that fit this description. How do I get them? This is why the local church is so important. And this is why here at our church we have what we call connect groups. Because they foster community. I'm not saying that you can't be connected to people that don't know Jesus. I'm trying to help you understand the purpose of that relationship. Because when we begin to get wisdom around relationships, what we'll find is that yes, relationships may be complex, but they don't have to be complicated. There might be a lot of facets to it, but they don't have to be complicated. So how do we get into friendships? I'll call it the catalyst of friendship. Be a friend to other people. Be around other people. Be around other believers. Do life with other believers. So for some of us, do you know what that is? For some of us, that means like, hey, go make a friend with somebody this week. That means like after service is done or whatever the case may be, if there's somebody here that you've been seeing all the time or online, whatever the case may be, it's like just being vulnerable and just connecting and being willing to take that first step, coming to a connect group, coming to Growth Track, doing all these different type of things to put yourself in the atmosphere to be surrounded around people. That's what it's about. Here's what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says. Let us not forsake the assembling of the saints in the gathering, as some are in the custom of doing so. But let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. Let us encourage one another. Let us provoke one another. That's friendship, y'all. And I just want to ask you a simple question. Who you got in your life that's provoking you to love and good works? It might not be a lot. It might be one. It might be two. But thank God for them. If you don't got them, today is the day. I believe that God says, hey, I want you to have a Ruth and Naomi type of relationship with somebody else. I want you to have a David and Jonathan, biblical figures in the scriptures as well, in the Old Testament, who the Bible talks about. They weren't blood brothers, but you couldn't separate them. They were best of friends. Because God never intended for you to go through life alone. And maybe the reason why you feel lonely is because it highlights the fact that this relationship is not intact. But today can be the day that begins a new journey for you. Where you say, I'm not going to do life by myself any longer. I'm going to have some godly friendships. I got my work people. That's cool. They're associates. And that might turn into a friendship in some way. But when it does, you already know what a friend is. You know what to look for. You know the context. You know the expectations. So I want to lead us in prayer in this moment. I want to ask us to stand to our feet. Because I sense it. For some of us in here, as you're hearing us talk about friendships, some of us have been burned so many times through the years by people that we call friends. Betrayal. Talked about you. They dogged you behind your back. You invested your all into them, only for them to abandon you. You trusted them and they broke that trust. And now what's happened consequently is you become bitter because you've been jaded and your heart has become calloused and cold. And what you don't realize is that as you keep the people of God away from your heart, you don't get healed, which is why the Bible says confess your sins and your struggles to one another so that you can be healed. And what I'm praying for you today, for those of us who fit in that, is that God would do a work in your heart where you begin to open up your heart again to trust the people that God wants to be in your life. I believe that some of you are here today. You've been praying and asking God to send you these people. And for many of your prayer requests, it's answered through this church. It's answered by coming to a group. It's answered by not just running out of service on a Sunday morning, but by lingering a little bit, hanging around a little bit, just talking. You'll be so amazed and surprised at what God does through that. Because I believe that God has something great that he wants to do with us. So my head's bowed and the eyes closed. If you're here today and you're saying, this is you. If you could be honest and say, Pastor Edwin, I don't have close friends. I have friends, but they're not close. And maybe the people that are close to me aren't really people that probably should be close to me. I'm struggling in that area. But if you struggle in this area of friendships, even as you were hearing this message and the scriptures unveiled, maybe it convicted you to the heart. But if you are struggling in this area and it's been complicated for some time, could you just be honest while heads are bowed and eyes closed? Could you just raise your hand? You struggle with making friends? Maybe you struggle with making friends. Maybe you struggle with keeping friends. Struggle with finding the right friends. Amen. So, Father, for every hand lifted in person and online, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that as we have heard your word, that we would receive the wisdom that you've given us. I pray, Father, for the person's hand that's lifted who struggles in this area. It's difficult in this area. They feel alone. They feel weary. They've been trying to carry the weight of life by themselves, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that in this moment that you would bring a spirit of refreshment over them to know that you actually have assigned people to their lives to be their friends, to help them carry these burdens so that they're not carrying them by themselves, to help them when they're in their highest moment and in their lowest moment. Friends who are filled with integrity, friends who are faithful, friends who are real, friends who are encouraging, friends who are near, most of all, friends who are divine, sent from you. And God, I pray that you would heal friendship wounds right now in the name of Jesus. The friendship that ended years ago. The friendship that ended during this pandemic. People that we thought were our friends that left us. Would you also forgive us, God, for not being good friends to those that we call friends? Would you help us to grow and be better? And we thank you, Jesus, not just for this word on friendship and for what a friend is, but we thank you that you've modeled to us what a true friend is, because you are faithful, because you are real, because you are filled with integrity, because you are encouraging, because you are near, because you are divine. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the friend who sticks closer than a brother. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the friend that we can depend on. You are the friend that we can trust in. We thank you that you are the true, ever-present friend. We thank you and we love you for what you did for us on the cross, because you said in your word that no person has a greater love than this, than to lay his life down for his friends. And Jesus, that is exactly what you did for us, because you called us friends even before we were friends to you. And we thank you for that today. Thank you for laying down your life for us. Thank you for sacrificing for us. Thank you for being our friend before we were friends to you. My head's bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today, the number one friendship that you need to get is with a person. But that person, most of all, is Jesus. And Jesus says, I came to show you how much I love you and I want to be friends with you. He says, I went to the cross and I died for you. I shed my blood on the cross for your sins, past, present, and future. There is nothing that could ever separate me from my love for you. Nothing that you've ever done, nothing that you've ever said. There's not a denial. There's not a betrayal. There's nothing that you could ever do that would cause Jesus to stop loving you for who you are, because he is love. And he's saying today, I want you to be my friends. I want to be friends. Why can't we be friends? Let's be friends today. Let me love you with my grace. Let me love you with my forgiveness. Let me love you with my mercy. For some of you, that's the decision you need to make, is to receive Jesus as your faithful friend and Savior and Lord. If that's you today, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for new life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your friendship. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen.